Thank you, Your Honors. Counsel, may it please this Court, my name is Charles Philbrick, and I represent the plaintiff appellant Envision Healthcare in this matter, in which the District Court dismissed Envision's complaint for declaratory relief, finding that it lacked specific personal jurisdiction over the defendant, and also in the alternative, finding that the concept of abstention was appropriate in this context. Your Honors, we submit to you that with respect to the personal jurisdiction issue, a specific personal jurisdiction, the cases, the analysis really lines up into a comparison of whether the facts of this case are closer to the case Citadel Group versus Washington Regional Medical Center, or closer to the case relied upon by the District Court and the defendant, Federated Rural Electric Insurance Company versus Inland Power. Now, in Citadel, the distinguishing characteristic of that case was that the relationship between the parties, Citadel and the medical center, was, as the Court had put, the parties' relationship was purely preliminary. They had not actually entered into the agreement that they were discussing having with one another. Now, in the Federated Rural Electric case, the parties' relationship was anything but preliminary. The carrier had sold the defendant-insured insurance policies some many years before. Their relationship was contractual, and that was the end of it. Here, the facts are just like Citadel, where the parties' relationship was purely preliminary. Again, my client Envision had purchased the assets of another Illinois entity, which was formerly known as Envision. And for clarity's sake, we refer to that entity as Old Envision, and my client as Envision, which took on that name after the asset purchase. And then thereafter, in 2007 and even into 2008, there were discussions about whether the new entity, Envision, would do business with Preferred One. But no agreement was ever entered into. So like the Citadel case, it's very important to look at the negotiations and what was contemplated in the event that they actually enter into an agreement. A second sort of remarkably similar detail is that in the Citadel case, the folks at Citadel actually went to Arkansas to meet with the medical center, but the medical center never came to Illinois. Well, that's precisely the case here. And that fact underscores the point that it is the conduct of the parties and what could reasonably be anticipated from that is going to be the source of whether specific jurisdiction, personal jurisdiction, exists here or not. And then finally, we have another detail of similarity, which is that in the Citadel case, the medical center in Arkansas did indeed send money to Illinois, to Citadel, as part of their ongoing relationship. And that is also the case here with respect to Preferred One. It started sending money to Envision, the money that it would have sent to Old Envision, but at Envision's direction, started sending that commission stream to Preferred One. Now, ultimately, the critical fact here is that after the party's efforts to dance into a relationship had apparently come to a complete end, and that no relationship would be entered into, Preferred One made a demand upon Envision to indemnify it with respect to an action that it had taken against one of its insureds. And I submit to this Court that that action was like throwing a rock through your neighbor's window. And you throw a rock through your neighbor's window, you can reasonably expect that your neighbor is going to take some sort of action. And in the Citadel case, the action was simply not paying money that was owed based on their working relationship as they worked toward finalizing a construction contract. And in this Court found that that action, along with the nature of the party's relationship, was sufficient to appraise the medical center that it may be hauled into court in the event that hauled into court with respect to its actions relative to Citadel. And I respectfully submit that the same is precisely the case here. The status of the relationship of the parties, the action taken by Preferred One when it did, should reasonably have appraised it that it would be hauled into court because of its demand, and a demand that was rejected by Envision for indemnification with respect to this litigation brought by Mr. Bradley Romer in Minnesota. So we ask that this court reverse the ruling of the district court with respect to the existence of specific personal jurisdiction over the defendant. Now, with respect to the issue of abstention, I want to sort of shift the discussion a little bit from what we've seen in the papers and start with a concept that we find in the Supreme Court's decision in Brillhart. In Brillhart, this concept of abstention is being discussed, and the court states, "We do not now attempt a comprehensive enumeration of what in other cases may be revealed as relevant factors governing the exercise of a court's discretion." And it's undisputed here now that the district court has discretion to determine whether to hear a declaratory judgment action claim or not. Now, Brillhart's point simply is that in this context, an enumerated list is never really going to serve, because the factors and circumstances in any given case are going to vary such that there may be factors and circumstances that wouldn't fall into a specified list and that ought to be considered. And I think that's just the case here, Your Honors.
Mr. Pilbrook, by what standard should we review the decision to decline jurisdiction on the abstention concept?
On abstention. It's a de novo review.
Is that what Wilton Brillhart would indicate?
Wilton and Brillhart will... They
say it's an abuse of discretion standard.
I submit to Your Honors, and I believe that the defendant concedes that the review is a de novo review. There was a dispute in the papers as to whether under the Colorado River you would need to find some exceptional circumstances in order to justify the abstention. But I will submit to Your Honor that with regard to the dispute as to whether the Romer action and this action are parallel, with regard to the additional case authorities, that it is a de novo review as to whether, and it's now within this court's discretion, whether jurisdiction should be exercised or not over that declaratory judgment action.
You're in your rebuttal time.
I am, Your Honor, and so I'm going to reserve the rest of my time, but simply to ask that the court reverse the lower court and remand this case for further proceeding.
All right. And for the appellee, and I'll probably butcher this, Mr. Betke?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Great. If it wasn't before, you'll go by that now, right?
That's correct. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Douglas Betke, and I represent Preferred One Insurance Company, the appellee in this matter. We respectfully request that this court affirm the decision of the district court in all respects. And I'll focus my comments on the two core legal principles that support the district court's decision, personal jurisdiction and abstention. And with respect to personal jurisdiction, the question at the end of the day is one of fairness. Is it fair to hail Preferred One into an Illinois court? And that question is answered by looking at whether Preferred One purposely availed itself of the privilege of conducting business, its activities in Illinois, invoking the protections and benefits of Illinois law to make it fair to litigate in Illinois. The district court correctly answered that question, no. Preferred One does not solicit health insurance policies in Illinois, no employees, no offices. It would be unfair. I'd like to focus in personal jurisdiction, though, on the arguments, in particular the Citadel case, and with respect to the demand for indemnification that's been raised. Citadel is distinguishable. In Citadel, there was an out-of-state party, the defendant, that asked for work to be performed in Illinois. The comparison here that Envision draws is this one-page marketing plan. I'd invite the court to compare the one-page marketing plan to the $500,000 or so of costs that were incurred in the Citadel case. But just as important as the distinction in the work that was performed in Illinois that was asked to be performed, what's key in Citadel is that the lawsuit directly arose out of the work that the out-of-state defendant asked the plaintiff to perform. It was an application of specific jurisdiction, and specific jurisdiction requires that the lawsuit arise out of or relate to the defendant's contacts with the forum state. It's not a test of what are all the defendant's contacts with the forum state or even contacts with a specific plaintiff. It's contacts that relate to the lawsuit. Here, the marketing plan is a red herring in that context. The demand for indemnification. The important piece of the demand for indemnification is why. Why? What is special about a demand for indemnification? Envision answers that question by saying that it was calling for performance. Demand for indemnification triggers jurisdiction because it calls for performance of the party for indemnification. If this court were to adopt that standard, that would subject a party to suit in any state simply because it asked a resident of that state for performance. No court has ever adopted that standard, and no court should adopt that standard. It would turn the principled reasoning that just entering into a contract standing alone is a sufficient basis to exercise personal jurisdiction. That's not the law, and nowhere is there anything special about a demand for indemnification that changes the analysis of personal jurisdiction. The Federated Electric Rural Insurance case is on point. It looked at the purposeful availment. Was it licensed to do business? Did it have officers and employees, et cetera? I want to turn briefly to the issue of abstention.
I want to ask you about that. Is our standard of review for that de novo or abuse of discretion?
That is a good question. We put in our briefs, because we followed Seventh Circuit law, that it is a de novo standard. Although Wilton decided prior to some of the later Seventh Circuit decisions, I think it's very clear that it is a abuse of discretion standard.
You've got the wrong standard.
I believe that's the case, yes.
But even as recently as 2008, we've announced that it's de novo review.
That's correct. And the case that I cited in the brief cited to a footnote that recognized Wilton seems to suggest a abuse of discretion standard. Nonetheless, the courts in the Seventh Circuit since Wilton have applied a de novo review, which is why in our brief I also said this court, applying Seventh Circuit precedent, applied de novo review. Wilton decided earlier in 1995, though, does express an abuse of discretion standard, and it does so because it says the district court is particularly suited to answering questions of whether it's an appropriate action to proceed. Is this a useful, is it a good fit to go forward in federal court? Because it is, of course, a discretionary, or it is an act that the federal court gets to choose whether it should entertain the action or not. Again, with respect to the abstention doctrine, it's informed here by the Brillhart and Wilton standard that ordinarily, and this is confirmed in Wilton, it would be uneconomical and vexatious for a federal court to proceed when there is a state action that's pending between the same parties, same issues. The four standards, or the factors that the Seventh Circuit has looked at, that Brillhart and Wilton have looked at, apply clearly here. Same issue, same parties, no useful purpose by proceeding in federal court, and there would be that same relief available that Envision is asking here, to wit, in the Minnesota State Court proceeding. On that note, if there are no further questions.
Don't appear to be. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
How much time left? 1.5 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honors. I too, would request that the court take a good look at that marketing plan as counsel indicated, you'll find it at A61. And the point there really is, and this could be an area of confusion, the general agent agreement between Old and Vision and Preferred One is a marketing plan. They were serving marketing purposes, such as training the agents who get signed up to sell the policies. If you look at the marketing plan submitted by New Envision, if you will, it runs through the very same things. So clearly there was this ongoing discussion as to whether they would engage in a similar kind of general agent agreement. Asking for performance, the summary of asking for performance is not really what's happening here, and the Federated Mutual case, Federated Rural, is a perfect example of how Mr. Betke's point is not well taken. There, the insured asked for performance. The insurer, which was distant from the insured, tried to bring a declaratory judgment action and a rescission action, first in Kansas, then in Wisconsin. Both times it was held that it could not haul its insured into these foreign courts. So just simply asking for performance is not going to do it, and that's certainly what happened in Federated Mutual. It didn't get the jurisdiction. As to abstention, I would want to highlight the useful purpose, but I see my time is up, Your Honor, so I thank you for your time, and I also ask that the court reverse the district court.
All right, and we thank you and all counsel, and we will take this under advisement. We'll be in adjournment.